Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to a new edition of Absolute Truth. Absolutely, this is your podcast, and I am your host, Gio. I am the youth leader of LWIM in Miami, Florida, which stands for Living Word Youth Ministries, Miami, Florida. And with me, of course, as always, we have our trustworthy servant and my father and the pastor of Living Word Church in Miami, Florida, Jesus Martinez.
Thanks for the invite, Gio. I always enjoy sharing this podcast pulpit, if you will, with you and bringing forth these, I believe, very relevant and interesting topics that we are bringing to God's people.
Absolutely. And today we're going to talk to each and every one of our listeners about when evil becomes good. But before we lay down the crucial aspects of our topic today, I know that you wanted to lay something down, a very nice foundation for what we are going to be talking about.
Yeah, if we can set the tone for the presentation, I think it would help. And I guess what I'm referring to is the fact that if we have any still alive that were in their teens during the 30s, they would say, well, it was my generation that set the course for all the evil that we are now experiencing. And I believe the same would be true of that generation that lived in the 40s. I'm talking about their teen years in the 40s, the same in the 50s. But I believe, this is just me now, it's just an opinion, I think I could get some data that can prove this. I believe the 60s was the generation that kicked open this door that has allowed evil to just come in and set itself in place to the point that it's the norm now. It no longer baffles people. It no longer causes that nausea that it used to cause when we heard stuff that was so way out of place that we said, like, this shouldn't be so. Now it's the norm. And so I believe with that hippie generation, the tone was set for all the things that are now taking place. And like you were clearly starting to point out, Isaiah 5:20 speaks to this very clearly.
Absolutely. Well, the reason that I brought this up, I had written an article. And the other day, well, you were there. We usually go out and have lunch and we have good conversations. But the other day, it was a bit imprudent of me. I understand that now. But one of the things that had occurred was we had gone to this bagel joint, local bagel joint that we have here. And they have these huge flat-screen TVs that surround the joint. They surround this place. And one of the interesting things about it is on most of these flat-screens, they're showing liberal news media outlets. That was one of the things that, of course, had me disappointed, because these people, all they do is, instead of reporting the news straightforward, what they're doing is that they are trying to propagandize the American public via their leftist views using the news as an outlet. But anyways, we were sitting down and we were having a good meal, a good lunch, but then on the main screen of this place, they were showing The View. And I don't want anybody to get any wrong ideas. I don't watch The View. I know you don't watch The View. And there's something about radical feminism that to us just sickens us to our stomach, and that'll be in a future podcast episode. But on this particular program, in this particular episode of The View, which had my eyes glued to the screen, and had, as a matter of fact, you had asked me afterwards, because I was so silent throughout the whole meal, that you were like, is everything okay? And in essence, what it was is that I saw Lady Gaga on the screen. Now, that raises some people's alarms automatically. They say, well, yeah, of course, I kind of see where Gio's coming from already. Or some people might say, what's wrong with her? And that's what we want to tackle, because in this podcast, we're talking about when evil becomes good. And we're going to use Lady Gaga as our prime example for this podcast. Now, continuing with my experience, when I was watching this, one of the things that struck me as interesting, and it bewildered me, as a matter of fact, is that they asked her questions and they brought her on the show because obviously these people see her as some sort of cultural phenomenon. Like, she has some sort of influence in the culture, like we have seen. But this ties in directly to what you were talking about earlier, in that evil has now been replaced with the definition of what is good, and vice versa. What is good now is defined routinely as evil. And this is a prime example. They bring on this individual, this celebrity, this personality, that which she, everything she stands for is promiscuity, free sex, perversion, homosexuality. She's an outspoken advocate for the supposed gay rights movement. Everything that this woman embodies is the essential definition of sin. And they bring her on for particular reasons, which we'll cover. But my question to you is, before we continue, is and we covered this earlier. What do you think are the driving motivation, the forces that make the producers, the creators of the show, the media, push her and try to shove her down people's throats?
The one that is visible in the natural realm is money. The one that is not so visible in the natural realm is the destruction of Christianity, because they see it as the hindrance to creating the utopia that they wish to create. And this would be a utopia where God does not exist. Remember John Lennon, Imagine.
Yeah.
One of the things that we are supposed to imagine is a world with no religion, no heaven, no hell. But again, Gio, I need to kick back to the 60s when women were burning their bras and everything was about free sex and free love. And, you know, we were fighting this and we were fighting that. And then we moved on and we started to get the shock lyrics. Mm. I remember Luther Campbell and Two Life Crew, some of the things that were being said, sung, if you will, the lyrics against women and against police officers. And then Howard Stern, Madonna, and now all the way up to Lady Gaga. And so what we see in the natural realm that moves them, and this is just an opinion, this is what I see, is money.
Yeah.
What we don't see, because it's in the spirit realm, is their hatred of the gospel, of Jesus, if you will. And they'll say, I don't hate Jesus, I don't hate the gospel, but their ways of doing things, the way they carry themselves, the way they conduct themselves, says that they do hate the gospel, they do hate Christ, they do hate the Lord, because they stand for anything and everything that God despises. So I believe, to answer your question, these are the motivating factors behind what we now call shock radio and shock TV and shock lyrics.
But did you notice that that's the selling point? These people understand that this is the way that they get people to tune in, to listen, to watch. It's via the shock treatment. In other words, wow, that's so amazing, or that is so out of the natural, or that's so perverse. And people automatically watch, listen to the lyrics, whatever the case may be, and they attract the masses because it's people want to know. That's just part of our makeup. We're interested in knowing. We're curious, so to speak. But they know, they use this as a tool to draw you in, and then once they have you in, once they've drawn you in, then they begin to infiltrate their evil message. That's the whole point, is it not?
Yes, absolutely. Plus, also involved in this is a factor that I will call facilismo, and that means more and more people can fake talent,
because
they call whatever they do talent, when in reality it's not talent,
and
sell it as art, sell it as some kind of virtuoso thing. And you'll notice that the same thing is happening in music, is happening in art, it's happening in poetry. Some of the stuff that is being sold out there is garbage.
Right.
Now, mind you, not all the people that are selling shock are lacking talent. That is pitiful, because some of them are very talented.
Yeah.
But the quick money is now in shock. The quick fame is now in shock. And so what we find is that this culture, like you were saying, wants to know how far can we push the envelope. And there's always somebody out there willing to say, I'll move it a little more.
Yeah. Well, but the same thing happens with Lady Gaga. She basically expounded on what Madonna was doing for decades, which is the whole sexual thing, you know, the promiscuity. She just took it to the nth power, where Madonna probably never took it. I mean, she took it to high levels. But now Lady Gaga's taking it to these real high levels. And the reason that we're using her, just to reiterate her as an example, is because we're expounding on Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those that call evil good and good evil. We are living currently in a society which excuses, justifies evil, wicked, sinful, lawless behavior. As a matter of fact, we see this, for example, on, just to use one example, on her YouTube pages where her music videos are posted, you find hundreds of millions of hits of people viewing her music videos, which are raunchy to the core. And in the comments pages, you'll find that people say, oh, I love you, Lady Gaga, you're my hero, I want to aspire to be like you, and all of these silly things, you know, these really childish things that they say about her. And yet when you analyze everything that she's pushing, that she has as an agenda to try to push, it's everything that is contrary to scripture. But yet people are approving of this, and they're justifying this, the existence of such evil, by buying the records. And this just doesn't apply to Lady Gaga. It also applies to the movies they go see. the other lyrics, for example, you mentioned the Two Life Crew and Luther Campbell, and other situations that are similar to this, when they watch the raunchy television programs, and other things that we can sit here and talk about. But again, the whole point is the propagation of evil being good. Hey, this is the norm. This is what's moving along. Yesterday, I was reading an article on theblaze.com, which states that now the American viewpoint, worldview on homosexuality is changing from what Christianity talks about it, what the Bible speaks to it, is saying that this is against God, this is evil, to, hey, you know, it's culturally acceptable. Now we've got many churches who are adopting homosexual priests, preachers, and they're saying, hey, it's the norm. We should just move along with the culture. The question that I have for you in this is, where do we stop? Where do we finally say, hey, enough of this?
Look, I think it's a matter of teaching truth and teaching righteousness to the people, because some people believe that the way to destroy this situation is through the law.
Yeah.
And they would strike up laws, or, you know, come up with laws that would say this can't be done, that can't be done. That's a dangerous place to go and a dangerous tool to use, because once you start ripping away our freedoms, then you are not only taking away theirs, you're also ripping into ours. So I don't believe that is the way to go about it. They do. The people that move in darkness, if you'll notice, they say, well, we have a right because free speech says this, and free speech teaches us that.
Yeah, they use the laws for libertinism, not for liberty.
And the Constitution protects this and protects that. So I don't think the key to getting this turned around, if it's possible to turn this around, is to use the law. I believe the key is to continue to fight on behalf of truth and righteousness. This weekend I'll be teaching on Psalms 45, and it talks about the wedding of the Messiah. And if you'll notice there, Gio, when you get the opportunity, go back to that particular psalm, and you'll notice that he carries on this battle. He is a mighty warrior. But what he is fighting for is truth and righteousness. And so I think this is what we're doing through this podcast and through our, you know, many other branches of ministry. And if we are to get some victory in this, it'll have to be fighting the battle spiritually.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Let's shift now, using that same point of thought, of how these people propagate these things. Because there's obviously the movers and the shakers of this whole situation. There are people who are moving this message along, that are propagating the whole dispatch, if you will. And, for example, using the whole Lady Gaga scenario, we have here the creators, the producers of the show that felt that she should be on the show. There could be one of two things moving these people to do this, to invite her to be on the show. And I think it's both. Number one, you've got people who say she's a cultural influence, we'll get the ratings boost if we put her on the show, so let's bring her on.
Mm-hmm.
Or for those that might think differently, but I think it's both. Number two, these people understand that she's carrying out this message. And the creators and the producers of the show are of the same mentality. They espouse the same worldview. And they say, we need to bring her on in order to promulgate, to disseminate this message.
I think you're talking about one and the same people. They carry out both things at the same time.
Absolutely. So the point here is that there's wickedness being employed, because they never tell you this openly. They never tell the kids who are watching. They never tell the people who are watching, even though they should be smart enough to pick up on what's going on. They never tell them, this is what we're trying to do. But people eat this stuff up in droves. They're constantly consuming this.
It has been shown that kids and young people develop their ability to imagine things and their creative skills way before they develop their reason and their logic and their capacity to reflect. And so when young people hear songs like I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It being sung by a young lady, their imagination is stirred. And so they'll say to themselves, maybe I'll give that a shot. Maybe I'll try that. And so these people know exactly what they are doing, and they cater to the young people. They cater to the people who have not been shaped altogether, the product that is not finished, and they'll go, we'll get in there and tweak it. We'll get in there and mess it up. This is what they're doing, but they call it, we'll get our mindset into them.
Well, and here's the other side of that, because we've heard people like our president, Barack Hussein Obama, Madonna say the same things. They don't let their kids watch TV. They don't let their kids listen to all of this music in excess because they know it's evil. But they don't mind if other people are listening to that.
They are the biggest hypocrites that walk the earth.
That's what this is all about. They are the biggest hypocrites. And you hear them say it once again, no, I don't let my kids watch TV. I don't let my siblings listen to my music and stuff like that. And that is hypocritical. But people knowing this, they still understanding that what they're feeding them is venom that can kill them spiritually and in their physical sense. They still, you know, they still consume this stuff.
Some people feel trapped, Joe, because they say, I have to work. This is a generation where both mom and dad have to work. And so when I get home, I find that my kid is engrossed in this material, not just in the couple of hours that he or she has while I get home from work, but throughout the school day. And so at some point, we're going to have to make some sacrifices if we wish to turn it around, maybe if not nationally, at least individually on a per home basis by saying, well, maybe we don't need that second car, or maybe we'll cut back on vacations. But at this point, I find that my family comes first. And this is the reason why you have many families now turning to homeschooling and shutting down the TV and bringing in the books, old books, mind you. And I believe at the end of the day, many families will have to do the same thing if they want to escape the entrapment of this generation.
Let's talk about the third point here, which is very important also to maintain. When these messages are being spread by the Lady Gagas, the Madonnas, the Katy Perrys, the Barack Obamas, whatever the case may be, what have you, they never let you know what the negative side effects of practicing lasciviousness, lawlessness is. They always present it in a glorified manner, as you should try this because it's good. Just give it a shot. In one of the music videos that Lady Gaga has put out and her record company has put out, because they're just at fault, as equally as fault as she has, because they're promoting this stuff.
They're complicit.
They are complicit. I think the title is Bad Romance. You see that she's looking at this individual who's kind of trying to seduce her. And one of the things that she does is that she burns the guy alive. So she's even promoting death and sadistic death in her music videos. Yet people are here sitting and watching this stuff, and they say, yeah, this is great. This is absolutely wonderful. It's just art, artistic, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah, these are the licenses that some of these people use. It's just artistic. Some of the comedians, Bill Maher and others, today are hiding behind the fact that it's just comedy, when in reality they are making political statements, yeah, social statements.
Yeah, but exactly. And the thing is, they never let you know the negative side effects. For example, Lady Gaga is a huge promoter of the homosexual lifestyle, even though I don't know if she practices it or not, but she is in favor of the gay rights movement. And these people who are trying to do this, even within the church, those that are moving towards that left side of seeing things, you know, that liberal side of seeing things, we see that they never mention the negative side effects, negative things that come out of living a lifestyle that is contrary to scripture. We're talking about STDs, AIDS, people dying early because of cancer. They never let you, you know, they never let you know about any of these things, the side effects of having free sex. That is a huge thing that many youth tend to overlook when it comes to these things. They just look at the glamour, the glitz, how they present these things in these fashionable lights, but never the negative side of the things.
In Miami, Florida, just a few blocks from where we have our home base, a young man decided that it was okay to stab another student, and he was just found guilty. He's going to do at least 22 years and maybe a maximum of life. Do you think that he is a product of this generation?
Absolutely.
I believe he is. Yeah. And so all this violence that is being advocated in today's music came to fruition. And now this young man is going to rot in a jail cell. And I wonder what the people that know him and that were there that day are thinking of all of this. Hopefully, most of them can turn it around. I suspect that the influence in their mind, in their hearts, in their soul is so much that some of them are just trapped in this and they won't be able to escape it.
And that's why we always advocate, turn to the scriptures. Turn to biblical truth, because God is pure, and if he's pure, his word is pure, and therefore it would leave you In truth, that's one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture is John 8:32, where Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We've spoken on this program about how truth is a polarizing thing, but at the same time, how truth has this ability to leave you in light only if you accept it and adopt it, and only if you live according to its tenets, according to its demands, its commands. One of the passages I was reading last night in my devotional was Proverbs chapter 1. And one of the things that we see that the Bible and Solomon says there is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, what Solomon is saying there is that if we are willing to give ourselves over to the fear of God, that very fear, that respect, that obedience, that reverence that we give God, and if we follow his scriptures, they will never lead us astray. They will never lead us in a path of darkness, but only if we stay on that path of righteousness.
There's a beautiful verse in the 119th Psalm, and this would be verse 10. And it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." In other words, for a generation such as this, there is no other solution.
Yep.
You cannot go around saying the government, the law, the teachers. No, it's all corrupted. The only thing that will see you through now is God's word. That's it, Gio. There's nothing else.
We have a few verses that we want to share with you, in ending this podcast, so that you can take these home and reflect on them and use them for your personal devotional time, and also to memorize these and take these to heart. The first we have is Romans 1:18 through 32, where Paul says that the wrath of God, and that's, you know, there's a whole passage, and we recommend that everybody read it at home. But one of the things that it says there is that the wrath of God is shown against those that withhold truth. They deceive people and withhold truth. But then it also speaks about these individuals that they know the righteous judgment of God, but that these people that practice these wickedness, these evil things, are deserving of death, but not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them.
And that's a very important verse, because it not only talks about the people who are carrying out these evil things, but then there is that huge group that says, "Well, I'm not an artist. I don't sing that," but you consume, you purchase.
Yep.
And so you are just as guilty as they are. And if we want to stop this, we have to stop consuming that product.
Guilty by association.
Look, Hollywood knows that PG films make a lot more money than our films. Nevertheless, they insist on giving us our films. Why? Because there's an agenda.
Yeah.
There's a something, a mindset that they want to create. And so even if it doesn't bring in as many dollars as we wanted to, nevertheless, we're going to push the envelope.
It's funny you mentioned that by guilty by association. I remember a while back, I had gone out with my wife, and we went out to a mall, and at this mall, we found that there was this individual who had a Sierra Club shirt on, a young individual, university student, and he was trying to push the whole green agenda and whatnot. And I remember I told him, "You know that organization that you're representing, they've killed or allowed the deaths of millions of African children." And he said, "What do you mean?" And I mentioned the whole issue of DDT.
Right.
That they were one of the ones that lobbied to exterminate DDT from the market because they said that it damaged the environment, when in fact DDT was helping eradicate malaria, which is one of the top causes of deaths in Africa.
Yes.
And I told him, you're guilty by association. You're a murderer. He looked at me with his face. He was whitewashed. And all of a sudden he just said, don't call me a murderer. And I said, "What do you want me to call you? Because you're representing this group." And knowing that they do this, because he knew about it, he said, "Oh yeah, I know about that." He's guilty by association because he's representing them.
What about aiding and abetting?
Aiding. Exactly.
They want to be part of the things that are damaging society and hurting people, but they don't want to be seen as people who cripple and damage. Of course they are.
Yeah. So returning back to these last couple of scriptures, we want to also read for you 1 Timothy 6:11-16, and I'll just read a couple of verses, and I think you can expound on it a little bit. "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." In other words, there's a call there by the Apostle Paul to young Timothy to maintain, to hold on to that faith, and to continue to hold on to that faith, because we understand that this system, it's under constant, it's always constantly attacking. And if we let our guard down, then it can and will trap us alive, and it will not want to let us go.
Again, I see that word righteousness, and I would ask the people who are listening to go back to Psalms 45, and it's describing the wedding of Messiah. It's a beautiful psalm. And in verse number 4, it says, "And in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things." And again, we see that he is a warrior, a mighty warrior, a triumphant warrior. What is he looking to defeat, and what is he looking to establish? He is looking to defeat evil. Yeah. And you do that by establishing righteousness. And I think it goes very much in line with what these verses, Gio, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 through 16 are conveying.
Amen. And the last verses we want to leave with you is in Philippians 4, 8 and 9. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." It's simple. Abide in these things, and God will be with you, and he will protect you from the evil one and from the perverse things that society is pushing.
One of the things that Solomon left his child in the form of wisdom was, "Greater is he who takes control of his spirit, of his mind, than he who takes a city." And this is Paul's way of helping us take control of our thought life. And I believe it's a beautiful way to end this podcast and to encourage people to not allow the evil and the darkness that is out there. Mind you, it's 5 cents a pound. That's how much of it there is out there. But this is a great way to close this, because it talks about taking control of your mind, taking control of your heart via God's word.
In other words, don't let people take control of it for you. You have to keep control of it. This is the responsibility that God has given each and every one of us.
Well, the example that Solomon leaves with us is great. "Greater is he who takes control of his mind, his soul, his heart, than he who takes a city." We see, you know, and we read about these great conquistadores. Mm-hmm. And the wise man is telling us, yeah, those are great feats, but greater is he who takes control of his mind, his thought life.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you for joining us once again, and I think we've touched upon another important topic. If you believe that this is important, and you believe and understand that truth needs to be disseminated, especially scriptural truth, we ask you to share these podcasts with your friends and with your family members. They will also want to know the truth of the matter, or the truth in the world full of uncertainty. You can find these podcasts and more information at lwim.org/ATA, which stands for Absolute Truth, Absolutely. And if you have any questions or comments or any topics that you'd like for us to touch on in future podcasts, please email those to us, info@lwim.org. For Pastor Martinez, this is Giovanni Del Cristo saying so long, and until next time, may the Lord shine his face upon you.